I'm Tony Craig. I play Jacques Huey on Due South.
I am Catherine Bruyere.
Hey, everyone. This is Ramona Milano, otherwise known as Francesca Vecchio.
This is Paul Haggis, and you're listening to Due South by Southeast.
I wish this podcast would carry me away. But while talking to Squeak and Michelle get a word in edgeways. Record over a bottle of rum on a darker Southampton bay. Due South, that is what we're talking about. Due South. Saddle up my microphone, get deep in Baker a bone.
South by Southeast. Hello, welcome to a surprise Due South by Southeaster. Yeah, we're back, baby, and this time it's Easter. Hope everyone's having a great bank holiday Monday, as it is in the UK. And if you're working, sorry, but we're not. No. So, you know, we're just going to rub it in. Anyway, I am Detective Squee. With me, as always, is, of course, Lieutenant Willow over there. You can't see her in shot right now, but... Sorry, I forgot you were there. And with me, my diminutive sidekick, who's going to blame it on being in a camping chair, but what you don't really know is that's actually a bar stool. Please welcome Mountain Michelle.
Hi. Why am I always down here? I'm going to bring my own chair next time, and I'm going to be taller than you.
It's a high chair. She's lying. It's all lies. It's a high chair, really. I can't help it if you're short.
No, but you have a higher chair than me as well.
I don't think that's true. She's that short and makes it look like I've got a higher chair. Just saying. So, Michelle, how are we doing? How's everything been? It's been a little while.
Okay, I'm all right, actually. Yeah, not doing too badly. Enjoying the Easter break. I hope everyone is also enjoying their time off and spending time with their family. And
yeah, you actually for once get an Easter break, which is nice. Sorry if I'm slightly distracted. I'm just trying to share this to the Due South page as well. Make sure we get all the loving.
Yeah, we've got a couple of people here already. I'm hoping that one of them is Gary. If it is, I'm going to say hi.
Oh, hi to Gary. Yeah.
Gary, hope you're here.
He's going to be joining us, me and Michelle, not for the episode, but we're going to be hanging out later doing some board games because, you know, Michelle's actually off for a change.
Join my time off.
So we hope you're all well. I hope you are enjoying a day off or you enjoyed your Easter at least. It's Bank Holiday Monday as we record this, just for anyone who's enjoying this later. So, Michelle, we've got the usual orders of business. I don't, unfortunately, have any sound effects. What I'm going to do, actually, this is my task for next time. I'm going to have all the sound bites uploaded with a little video thing for all our jingles. But instead, we're just going to have to do it live. Yo ho ho, we're getting drunk as hell. Tell me this, what rum are we drinking, Michelle?
Oh, that was close.
What rum are we drinking, Michelle?
It's Pusses.
Look, no one's saying I'm as good as our friend Blaine Garrison, but you know, I'm just giving my version of his tune.
Right, I found it now. So this is the rum that we have for today. It's not one we've ever had on the podcast before. I'm bringing it in.
It is Pusses rum. Pusses, yeah. Or passes, you said. Pusses. I mean, Pusses sounds more fun.
It's a navy rum,
yeah.
Navy rum.
And Michelle, as always, this is our first drink of the day. It's only 2 o'clock, and she's done Michelle Measures. You see, it's even affecting me already. She's done Michelle Measures on a naval rum, which is always a good idea, of course. We got a first comment. Early doors. Yeah. Hello from Gary Sully.
Hello, Gary.
Hello.
I've got your rum.
And she's holding it hostage. Actually, it's going to be a three rum record because we do have just a little bit left of the old crusty juggler. courtesy of my brother bringing that back from Cornwall. The same one as last time, actually, we recorded. So I save it, you see. I save the really nice ones for our records. And just got a little bit of Captain Morgan's left as well. I've just got little rat ends of rum to use up. So we're going to have a three-run record.
Bringing it all out for a record today. And I also wanted to show off my new...
Do you want me to show it to the camera?
Hold that up. This is my new podcasting cup.
If I can find the camera, which is right in front of me.
A Mountie
glass.
Got a Mountie on it. I'm going to pretend that's Benny.
And Gary's apparently, this sounds like a weirder hostage thing. I've got the chin and our cat.
No.
So you've got the pussish. He's got the puss. Cat. What's anyone? What? Don't you get all smutty out there in Jews' land. Hope your Jews are well, though. So that's what rums we are drinking this week. I've got to remember how this bloody podcast works now. I'm trying to,
it's been too long.
Mini Mountie Club, eh? That was nice, can we just, I can't really cut that out because it's anyway. So Michelle, I think the rum thing is, I had a couple of weeks off any drinks for the last couple of weeks, and I think it's just going straight to my head after one sip.
One
so,
sip and that's it.
Well, it is again. It is almost neat.
Wow,
this was that much rum and a pipette drop of Sprite in mine.
This is why I couldn't be a bartender.
And have a lot of happy customers.
We'd run out of drinks so quick.
Oh, by the way, big shout out. Sorry, Gary said it's with your cat. Big shout out to Mario. Yeah,
Mario. Hope you're watching too.
We're actually training at the moment, Willow, not to be so reactive around cats. Pretty soon she might even go, you're right.
I'll just bring Mario around one day and we'll test it out.
We're not that far yet. Today is not the day, but I can usually get past a cat now. It used to be she'd rear up and really, I was struggling to hold her back. It was she'd make a noise which sounded like I was hurting her. I was always so concerned. One day someone's just going to turn the corner and go, it's like, what are you doing to your dog? No. It's a cat.
Blame the cat.
It's a really unholy noise she makes. By the way, just because I'm very proud of them. When else do I? Just for anyone watching a video. Sorry.
And if you're not, that was Ian's nails.
They're a lovely shade of blue, sort of TARDIS blue, I think. Oh, Michelle, I know you're going to be excited as me. This is a bit of a tangent, a bit off topic, but I know you'll be as excited as me that they've just announced the episode titles for Shooty Gatwa's first series as a Doctor and a new trailer.
I am truly excited.
Come on, you should give it a go.
I will give it a go. But I still haven't finished all the ones that they put on over Christmas. At some point, I need to get back to them.
Oh, yeah, watch those. Yeah, they were great. A bit of Tenant action. So, Michelle, some Mini Mountie Club. Have you got any entries, first of all?
I do. I've got some to come up in a future one as well.
Oh, yeah, you've got a Mini Mountie Club tease. This is a first.
We're teasing.
Anyone who isn't familiar with Mini Mountie Club, and where have you been if not, this is the thing we do with no point. It just reminded me of when they used to do kid shows and they'd have Captain's Club on a pirate show or so. You'd have these little fan clubs which you join. You just write in and they'd induct you, and sometimes they'd send you something in the post. Not happening here.
We're not doing that.
This is a pointless venture. Originally the aim was to get up to 100, and how many are we up to now?
So far 132, and that doesn't include our golden circle.
And we're barely halfway through the Jew South. So there's that. So Michelle.
Yeah.
Who have you got for Mini Mountie Club, eh?
Well, speaking of cats earlier on, I've got another cat that I'm going to induct. Tambi is a friend's cat. So she's going in.
Michelle, I've just realised you might have been coming out very faintly. Can you try saying something?
I can try saying something. Yes, I'm going to induct Tambi the cat.
That's better.
Tambi the cat.
I just realised we remembered to switch your microphone on, but I didn't have it on the mixing board.
That's just so typical of you. For me, you don't want me to be heard, do you?
So I hope everyone can hear Michelle better now. Gary, can you let us know? Could you hear Michelle through the rest of this?
Seen but not heard. What a shame.
Just like women should be. jokes, people.
Please write in with your complaints. Yeah.
And where would they write into, Michelle?
Oh, somewhere. No. It's been so long.
Yes,
so doselfbsc@gmail.com.
Yay!
Wow, it's still there.
And if they wanted to X us or tweet us.
At DoSouthBSE.
Yeah. And if they want to watch on YouTube.
That's a good question. I don't know the YouTube one. I suppose if you just typed in DoSouth.
No, it's a trick question. It's at Dr. Squee.
Oh, well, there we go.
Or it's youtube.com/Dr. Squee.
Yeah, that's close enough.
Yeah. I'm sure we've missed one. On Facebook. Where would they go on Facebook?
DoSouthBSE. Type that in, you find us now.
Well, you might be able to find
us. You probably find us.
You go to groups and go to Due South by Southeast. I mean, it is actually the simplest form, sure. And I'm not talking about you there.
Like, yeah. But the others, you've tested me on so much. It's in there.
Yeah. Sorry, anyway, yeah. We got from Mini Mountain
Tambi
Club.
So far.
Tambi.
The cat.
Tambi the cat. Okay, is this any particular cat or just
Victoria's
a
cat? Oh. It's not just a random cat.
I don't know.
My friend's cat.
Okay. So we got your friend's pussy in. Have you got any other ones or is it just...
No, because it's going to have to be on the next one because we're waiting for them to be named.
Yeah. Have you said, are you going to say that... Have you already said it's named?
No. No, my daughter, she's got two new rats.
Yeah.
And I will induct them once they have been named. They're two boys, but... Yeah.
They're in spirit. So that's your little tease.
She needed to get to know their personalities before she gave them a name, you see. So we're waiting.
Literally doesn't get any less exciting than this. I mean, more exciting than this. We're teasing Mini Mountain Club for some rats. I've got two. I don't think, could you just check? Have we got Elnor in there already? Because we might do. I think we might have Elnor in there.
I'm not sure we do, actually.
Do we not? Have I missed out on this one?
Yeah, we're going back quite a way now, and I can't see Elnor. No.
Okay, well, Elnor. So, basically, where I live now, I'm lodging with a friend of mine, and her daughter's Elnor, so we're going to induct her. And also, she's recently got a guinea pig. That's forced habit, because I used to have guinea pigs. Hamster named Cloud. So, Cloud the hamster who I'm looking after this week, you were in Mini Mountie Club. Yeah, he's very excited. So.
This is why we don't give out badges, because most of them are now animals.
Yeah. Would be animal cruelty at best to put it through their skin. Just no. Anyway, so that's Mini Mountie Club. That's what rum we're drinking. Is there anything else we do before the show starts?
I think we just get on with it now, don't we?
I think we do. Because, you know, only 15 minutes in. Actually, that's not too bad for us. It's kind of quite ahead, usually.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we're going to go into the episode. What is the episode, though, pray tell, Michelle, that we're watching this week? The pugilistic episode.
Mountie and Soul.
Which is really funny, which doesn't really fit the episode at all, now I think about it. It's a boxing thing. And they had one before, which was I Could Have Been a Defendant a couple of episodes ago, where I think when they got to this episode, it's like, oh, damn, the episode title's already gone. Because they even say at the beginning of this episode, I Could Have Been a Contender, which is the reference, which that one's from. Whereas I don't really get Mountie and Soul for this.
No.
But anyway, that is the episode. So, Michelle, what we got first? We open up, actually, we got... Benny, Ray, we got Francesca. And Deef.
Yeah.
Quite a good opening.
It was an interesting opening because it just starts with a load of gang members.
Yeah.
And you're like, what's going on? I mean, they're in Chicago. They've got all these Chicago gang members around and they're talking. It almost kind of sounds like a youth outreach kind of thing for the gangs.
Which is quite like Benny's one, which was, what was it? Something what like fowl or like it's like rescuing birds or something. And he's comparing it to. What I did think, though, and I don't know if it's just so long since when this happened, and we'll get to this a bit later as well, but. Or if it's like this is a kind of stereotype. But looking at the gang members, all I could think is like they look like extras from a kind of like a 90s music video.
Yes, a rap video.
I'm not sure if they're stereotypes of gangsters or just like that's what kind of gang members in that time look like. I think it's a bit of A bit of B probably if I'm honest. Because there's like a bit where they've got their hats sideways, which always seemed like a kind of like, I don't remember seeing that. I remember the hats backwards being quite a thing, but But I don't know.
Maybe they were
gang
trying.
Member, do write in.
Yes, please. From the 90s. Please inform us. Yeah, maybe they were trying not to upset any gangs, though. They were like, oh no, they have theirs forward, they have theirs back. Let's just go sideways. That's not going to offend anyone.
The only example of that guy I could think of was Dizzy Rascal, which is kind of fun time rap. So I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah. Yes, that's where. So we find out. So it's actually like a gym where they do boxing. So they're taking all these gang members and they're trying to give them skills and possibly career progression if they're actually any good. And so there's already quite a bit of rivalry going on between people that are in this gym because they've got like rival gangs and things. And they're trying to keep it all.
And also there's something which we kind of see throughout the episode is this Ray is a lot more streetwise. He's as streetwise as the first Ray thinks he is, which is kind of an enjoyable little difference. It's like he still gets to be the butt of the jokes and a bit of a buffoon in his own right, but it's not in the same way as the original Ray, which is kind of like, I think that this is where we start to see those differentiators a bit more. Because like before, he's a bit more on the surface silly, I think, at times. But again, this kind of adds some depth to his character. And, you know, Franny and Benny kind of are talking, like they talk, like I mentioned his ex-wife in this, and they talk a bit about his kind of past. It's kind of nice, just like, you get a few bits of texture with him.
Yeah, we're getting to know him a little bit more, I think, as it goes on, aren't we?
And it's nice when he and Fran join together to take the piss out of Ray for his kind of like, it's like, oh, I'm a bit like a silly kind of like, or I could have been a hobbyist. I could have been, and they're just taking the piss out by the fact that he isn't a very good boxer, which is very nice. But it's also nice that he does this outreach stuff because I think he is shown to be a bit more of a loose cannon as well than the first Ray. But here you see him kind of like, he does this outreach stuff. He does kind of care. So again, it's nice texture.
Yeah. And we've got Deef there as well. One thing I'm kind of finding with Deef is that we're seeing less and less of him. But when we do see him, it's kind of like interesting little conversations that like Benny's having with him. Like there was
talking to him here at the beginning.
Yeah, he's like, there's something. And Benny's just like, he's not talking to me at the moment. Because what was it? It's like to do with an alarm clock. Well, the alarm clock went off at 5 o'clock and...
Yeah.
I can't remember what
he was being. I told them off for being slothful.
Yeah. No, he's not talking to me. You know,
just because Deef wanted a lion. I'm with Deef here. Like, not everyone's a morning person.
5 o'clock. Come on. Who's going to be happy about an alarm going off at 5 o'clock?
I think, when they were off in the wilds of Canada, I think maybe he was a bit more strict Deef on himself, whereas he's kind of got used to it, like a bit more leisurely pace here in Chicago, which, I think Ray
you can't
very
blame
happy
him.
About.
You can't blame him, though, can you?
By the way, sorry, I'm going to digress here.
Okay,
I'm going to go back a feature. Can we have a puppet in Mini Mountie Club?
A puppet.
Well, the thing is, you may see behind me. This is a doll of Quark for anyone who doesn't recognise it from Deep Space Nine. A friend of mine, Fee, made this puppet, which. My other friend, Richard, who is his widow, because sadly she passed away, kindly gifted to me. Can we put Quark the puppet in Mini Bounty Club?
Why not? We've got animals. I think we've probably got other weird things as well.
Sorry, just saw him in the background there, and I thought that'd be kind of cute. Like, this is our first puppet entry to Mini Bounty Club. Sorry, and then we will get back to it. Sorry, I just noticed, and I go, that'd be kind of sweet.
Yeah, now it's probably not going to be the last, is it?
I think we get one puppet. I think that's...
I'm going to add a note to myself so I don't have to go back and find it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Add
it's fine.
Quark.
And if we forget, we'll just do it next episode. It's fine. So,
I'll leave it in a little box.
Sorry, back to the episode. I just saw Quark there. He distracted me in a lovely way.
Hey, Quark.
Give him a little inbox. Which will make sense to anyone who knows.
I have no idea. No. I just think you're being weird now.
I mean, usually.
Yeah. There was also a really interesting bit that happened on this. So Ray was introducing Benny to some of the people there. And as you were saying, that Benny always has this bit where he kind of goes through his story when he's introducing himself.
Yes.
And he didn't get to do it this week. Ray actually takes on that role and he goes through Benny's story, but kind of speeds it up and gets through it quick. Yes. He's like, oh, you don't need to know about it.
Exactly. As we mentioned before, they wanted, at the beginning of the episode, they wanted to have a kind of like a little saga thing where they talk, you know, it would have been basically been something along these lines right at the beginning of the episode, like they did in Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Quantum Leap, the original. And they would have had that at the front, but they thought it would be more fun to throw it into the episode. And I like the fact that because you put it in the episode, you can play around with it. So like he does it, Benny does it most of the time, ever play abouts with him getting cut off when he's doing it. This time, Ray just goes like, yeah, he's from Canada and he stayed for a bunch of reasons. Anyway, like that's not important.
Yeah, you don't need to know about that. Yeah, moving on.
It's a really fun way of playing about with it, but you include that there for basically for the studio. Yeah. I think it was either studio. I don't think it was BBC because, or it might have been BBC, but because BBC kind of co-produce it at this stage. But anyway, yeah, studio note.
Yeah. But they're kind of walking around the gym and they're talking about this like up and coming boxer, the Sugar Man, as he's been named, which I thought was very funny, where Benny was like, Sugar Man, is that his first name or his surname?
Yeah, they again we're sort of seeing the progression of the characters in this episode with Benny definitely being a little bit more playful and a little bit more silly in these episodes. Loads of lovely comedy moments with them. So have we got to it yet with Ray teaching him the street lingo? Or
not yet, no.
Oh, we'll say that.
Yeah, then. Not so, yet. Yeah, he's telling Benny all about this Sugar Man and how good he is and everything. And it was loads of things he was going on about how he's was it him that left the trainer and went somewhere else as he was improving? Anyway, he was telling him loads and loads and loads about what was going on. And I like that Benny asked him, how do you know all of this? And he was like, oh, I read Ringworld.
Yeah,
so like Ringworld. A magazine.
I mean, I know there is a magazine for everything. And I think it's of course, and have I got news for you over here that they've got a different kind of guest publication each week. So they've got like... you've got to fill in the headline and they grab a load from a random magazine like Slug Fancher's Monthly, you know, some sort of really weird random, and I think Ringmaster magazine might be one of those. It's just, yeah.
That's how and
people, you know, people who read those magazines love it. It's their favorite thing ever. So I really like that. There's something like about something that someone's so passionate about, like a weird magazine like that that means nothing to everyone else, that I kind of dig.
Yeah, and they're actually there to watch a match, aren't they? So this Sugar Man, he's going to come out and box against a guy that Ray is backing, so he's in his corner. And we've got Francesca, she's there to watch it, and we were quite surprised that
Francesca.
Lieutenant yeah behave.
What?
And Lieutenant Walsh turns up to see this match as well.
Yeah, no.
That was really cool.
And Walsh, of course, would be into boxing.
Of course he is.
It just makes perfect sense. The only thing I was kind of surprised about is because Canada has quite a history of boxing, and, of course, with their ties to the UK historically as well, like boxing, I believe, was originated in the UK. I'm sort of surprised. I know they play it to great effect for the laughs and everything, but I'm surprised Benny... is more familiar with boxing. I think that seems a little bit contrived, but yeah.
Yeah, I think he would be. He'd want those skills, I think.
Yeah, just something he would have been aware of. I mean, I'm pretty sure Mounties would have a boxing, like, thing as part of it. They seem to have a lot of sports connected to the Mounties, and I think they would have a boxing league.
But yeah, there was a nice...
Maybe someone can educate me on that one.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
There was a nice little back and forward, I thought, with Van Francesca and Walsh as well, when she was talking about, I think she was quite surprised that he was there to watch it, and she was talking about all the blood, and he goes, the blood never splatters this far.
Yeah, that's someone who's been to a match or two. He knows exactly the blood splatter radius.
Yeah. No, if I sit there, getting covered, sit here, it's all good. He was like, get me a hot dog.
And, you know, if he got hit by blood there, he'd just be, he goes, wow, never reaches this far. You know, this is great.
Yeah. And, yeah, I think it was probably approaching this point we realised it's actually been a long time. We didn't have any credits or anything for the programme up until this point, did we?
No, good 10 minutes in before you get the credits. Sorry to eat a microphone. I just, like, sorry, Michelle Measures. I need someone to soak it up with.
It's like sip crisp.
No, I'll make that it. I just wanted a couple. Sorry, guys. I know some people.
It's very rude.
Including my buddy Matt Lees, who does a wonderful theme tune for Due South by Southeast. It's his pet peeve is people talk eating on mic. So I'm sorry. I'm trying to link back for a meeting.
So we did eventually get some credits. But I think the match, and I think they probably did they start the match or end the match before the credits?
I think it's the end of the match.
Yeah, it's the end of the match. Yeah.
In going into the credits. Because, like, I mean, yeah, again, now actually it's more common to get the credits sometimes a bit further into an episode on shows. They do that sometimes, but it was very rare back then. And I think, yeah, it's like because you've got this whole scene. I think it was, there was a good reason to do it like this. So then when, he knocks him out at the end of it and you see him slumped in the chair. That was going into the credits. It kind of like creates that nice little dramatic moment and does set you up into the episode. It's just kind of rare to have that. Like, it's kind of, I like the fact they let it breathe and they did something a bit different. We've said before, as you go into this season three, as it was the final season over here, season three and four, as it was in America and Canada, I believe. Anyway, yeah, they do like to play about with the format. So the first two series of Due South follow a kind of strict format. Whereas here they get to have a bit more fun, play about with it. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, so it was quite surprising because they're making it look like the guy that Ray's backing is absolutely no chance of winning against this Sugar Man. And then all of a sudden the Sugar Man starts looking a bit dazed and then gets, bam, punched and he's out. He's hospitalised. We find out he's actually in a coma as well, so it's not looking very good for him.
Yeah, I mean, straight away you know that he's been poisoned. Something's happened.
It, from the way they made him look dazed, it wasn't normal. He wasn't getting punched a lot by the other guy. He was doing a lot of the punching.
And so also it's another thing where Benny isn't familiar with the sport, and it kind of gets questionable because Ray keeps on sending him back in when he's getting a pasting. Ray's guy. And like he's going to Benny, it's like, oh, he wouldn't respect me if I didn't push him back in. And it's like, it's kind of like, I know there is that side to the sports, but it's like, I don't know, the guy probably would have been okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So afterwards, so the guy that's actually given him the shot that's knocked him out, he's feeling really guilty about it. He wants to go to the hospital and see him. So Ray was going to go with him, but I think he steps outside and he ends up getting confronted by this guy's brother. He's like blaming him, he's saying, you know, he's really unhappy. He's like, you know, I don't even know if he's going to make it. You might have killed him. He's really unhappy. And I think a fight starts. And then this is when really we were quite surprised.
Move which goes into the fight as well. Because they're like, as I say, the guy's concerned about the... do we know the name of the boxer who's on Ray's side? Ray's boxer.
It was Levine or something, wasn't it?
Levine.
Yeah. And then the brother, I remember, was Jamal.
Oh, he's up against the Jamal. And he's trying to go. It's like, no, look, I'm just concerned about him. I want to check he's okay. And there's a bit where he's just about to leave. And he does this really weird motion. It looks like it might be meant to be a fist bump, but he kind of like just gives him a little... It's not like there's no power to it. So it kind of looks like the power you might do a fist bump, but it's like kind of tapping his chest, which it's just very
weird. It was
weird.
It was kind of
he's trying
boxer.
To de-escalate it.
But it was
very
weird.
Odd. And then the fight breaks out. But it doesn't look like he's trying to be hostile or like he's just lost it because the guy's challenging him. It just looks like it's meant to be a friendly gesture, but the weirdest friendly gesture ever.
Yeah. That was weird. And then we were commenting throughout as well about the way that Ray keeps breaking up these fights. So we start, I think this is the first time.
Very trigger
he
happy,
just
Ray.
Gets his gun out and he's pop, 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 pop. I was calling him Ray Pops.
Ray Pops.
Ray Pops.
We got the Ray Pops.
Ray Pops throughout this episode. Yeah, he was like firing up like, to get everyone to break up. That seemed, doesn't seem like something a police officer should be doing. It's not.
No, and I certainly think, I mean, I'm not saying that our previous Ray never got his gun out, but I think he would have been a bit more measured and he would have been right in there kind of like pushing them apart a bit more.
Yeah, but he was very
and maybe
trigger
just
happy.
One blast in the air where it's like this way, pop, 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 pop. Get some re-pops.
So after this, they ended up heading back to the station and we were commenting that I think the relationship between Ray and Benny is really growing. They've got a really nice rapport going on now. And it was quite funny just watching them walking around the station, just like chatting away. They both walk into the toilets together.
Yeah, this guy comes out.
Comes out. Like,
lovely little comedy moment. Yeah. But they're in there for like 5 seconds most. They go in, you hear some water running to make it clear they wash their hands, which I think in ADR they might have gone, it's like, let's just make that clear. And they come out again. I think all they had time to do was walk in, wash their hands and come out again, which is random at best.
It was a weird little scene, but yeah, but the rapport between them two was really nice. And the guy that steps out of the toilet, I mean, I don't know what they were doing in there for him to pull the face he made when he came out, but it was
like, why didn't they go for people? Why they just wash their hands?
Why they just walk in, wash their hands? Yeah, I don't know. It was weird, but it was a funny little moment as well. So we enjoyed that. And then they're walking around the station again. And I just could not, I mean, I'm probably going to say this in a different way that Ian would say this. I could not take my eyes off of Francesca's uniform.
Detective Squeak, oh, sorry. Thank you. Yes, and I also could not take my eyes off his off her uniform. I don't know what it was about it.
Is not an official.
I think that was regulation. I'm pretty sure it was regulation.
I mean, her skirt was like a little.
It was a little long. You're right. Yeah, it was a little long. Yeah.
It's like a little leather skirt. I mean, she's a civilian aide now, isn't she? A little leather skirt and this tight little top with this little hole here, and it just said, I think it said like civilian aid, like Francesca or something there, and that's like, you've made that yourself. That's no way did she get that from the official uniform
pretty
department.
Sure it's official regulation. I'm pretty sure Eleanor wore something very similar.
Don't think she did.
Elaine,
yeah. I do not think she did. She was very professional, and that is how she raised through the ranks and she became a police officer. None of this nonsense with this uniform.
Well, she was more sexy with the authority, whereas, like, this is just an out sexual. And Jesus, the amount of time she gives pervy eyes towards Benny in this episode is just like.
I'm pretty sure the
more so than usual. And yeah. She's always trying to hit on him, but it's like every time she walks past, it's like.
Yeah, I think the majority of her lines in this program were. Hello, Fraser. Hello, Fraser. Every time you see her, she's like, hello, Fraser. Hello, Fraser.
Well, you know, that's what I like about Due South. You had Fran in for the guys and you had Benny in for the girls. If anything else, you've got more screen time to perv on him in that beautiful red uniform.
I'm starting to think she's only taking this job as a civilian aide to get closer to Fraser.
And I'm quite happy with that. As long as she wears that uniform, do what you got to do, sister.
But how is nobody telling her off for that uniform?
Well, I'm not going to, and I don't think Walsh would either. That's probably how. Walsh is like, hey, man.
Yeah. maybe we should make this the official. I mean, because everyone else on board, all the ladies, come on, you need to be wearing this too. Francesca, make them for everyone.
And I also like the fact that they, in the earlier episodes, I think it comes up a few times, that Kowalski, even though he's like meant to be acting as her brother, isn't so like he fancies her, so that's kind of great for me.
And then there's another great scene. So we find out, so I think Walsh comes and tells Ray that you need to go and arrest your friend for homicide, this boxer who's just he's knocked out this sugar man, but then you need to arrest him for murder because his brother has just been killed and he's the prime suspect. And so they head down to the morgue. And what is going on with this coroner? I'm calling him the creepy coroner because he's very weird, very creepy. He's like from a cheesy horror film or something, this coroner.
It's like they want to give a few sidekicks to Benny because you get Temple appears more and more as the show goes on. And you've got this coroner guy who's kind of like a side. It feels very much in the vein of Benny and these kind of like comedy characters. I mean, I'm kind of loving him though. It's a nice little quirky addition. And it's another kind of place for them to go, I guess. Like, you know, have the coroner scene peppered throughout the episode. So,
And I have to say, this is one of my pet peeves when it comes to, and this happens a lot now on, like, if you watch like CSI or something, when they go down to the morgue, you got the coroner working. Why do they all work in the dark?
Because they're creepy that way.
But it makes no sense because I think, you know, if you're trying to find the reason why someone's died, it could be a tiny thing. You need some light. You need some light in these rooms to see what's going on.
Coroner mood lighting. What can I say? Yeah, it's maybe they're training their eyes. They're getting the light dim so their eyes pick up everything.
It's like, we want you to know you're down in the morgue. Let's turn the lights down. It's like, no, the lights are going to be up in the morgue. Turn them up. You know, the guy's creepy enough. He could be creepy in the light, I believe.
you believe in him. He can do it. He can creep in the light.
I 100% believe in him. Yeah, but that was a nice one. And Ray was so grossed out by it as well. It's like, you've probably seen worse stuff from like gunshot wounds and things on the streets if you're an officer in Chicago. But the minute he's pulling the sheet back, he's like, oh, you know, I don't know. They'd like to have these cops that are grossed out by stuff. I don't believe that. I think he's a hard man as well, Ray.
I didn't look that closely.
Yeah. But then this
is a hard man.
Anyways. So this, they've found this little medication thing, don't they, of diuretics, and that kind of sets Benny's mind going, oh, and this is when he gets out the shoes as well, isn't it?
You do like Benny doing a little bit of licking, aren't
yeah,
you?
Oh yeah. So this is back to like the old Benny where he starts licking and sniffing everything, because first of all, he's just sniffing. He picks up the guy's shoes and he's sniffing them. Yeah. And Ray's like, no, no, you don't need to be sniffing and licking things. And then
he goes, you don't need to be licking stuff just before he does.
Yeah, and then he starts, like, it gave him the idea, oh, I might just have a little lick actually as well. He's licking the dead man's shoes.
Okay. Do we think more or less gross than him picking up the chewing gum in a previous episode? Oh. I think that's got to be the benchmark. The shoe's pretty damn nasty. On the streets of Chicago, who knows what he's stood in?
Yeah.
Who knows what he's stood in?
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with stood in.
And don't blame the rum for the way you're talking, please.
Well, I wasn't saying stood in before the rum. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's all about my measures, isn't it? Oh, but yeah.
Well, it's all about Fran's measurements. Anyway, that's another story.
Yeah. So I think Benny's just putting this idea in the coroner's mind. Is that maybe we need to be testing him for diuretics and see if that was had something to play in this cause of death. But it looks like he's definitely been punched to death. Yeah, that's what they're saying. He's been punched to death.
He goes, what about diuretic? It's like, we didn't find anything. He's like, okay, never mind. And then Ray calls him outside and goes, don't you bring up something like that and then go, it doesn't matter. Like, you're making me look like a fool in here.
Yeah.
So, like, Ray's weirdly worried about what the coroner's going to think of them.
Yeah. But then I think this leads on to possibly one of the best scenes in this episode. This is when they go in to speak to the gang informants, you know, and you know the bit I mean.
No, I'm trying to.
So there's like the lineup of these gang members they go and talk to, and he's like, oh, he's commenting on the uniform.
Oh,
he's
yeah, yeah, sorry, yeah, yeah. They go to lineup. I was thinking in the police station.
Yeah, no, it's just the way they're.
No,
stood,
they go. Yeah. They go. Yeah, yeah. No, I've got you. Know they go to the gang's club. Yeah, basically. Yeah. And they're stood outside, and I love it when they do something like that. That random members of the public kind of buy into Benny's world. And in this case, even before Benny said anything weird, so Benny's going is like, he talks about his uniform, like, forget how they get onto it, but he goes like, it's red to represent the Queen. And the guy goes, oh, that's really interesting. Like, the guy just goes into it straight away. He's like, this gang member. I just love the idea the gang member's like, well, like, come on, respect the uniform. That's kind of interesting. Let's hear him out, you know. And very quickly, Benny's giving lessons on how to... like why they have like the strap on and why they've got the strap along the uniform, the braid, and it's something to do with the way it hangs. It's like the gun's lower so you can unholster it quicker, and he's giving all these tips about how to best get to your weapon quickly.
It was so funny
to gang members
because it was like his weapon is on it's connected, so it goes, so even if you drop it, it just goes, and you just pick it right back up. You're ready to go again.
It.
He goes,
yeah.
And that's something you guys should be thinking about.
Yeah. Oh, they
don't seem like, tell them that.
I know, it's right. It's like, they seem like lovely fellows.
He's giving his gang members tips on how to not lose your guns.
Well, I like to think, though, just through the power of Benny being Benny, it kind of like informs them of this. But because he's been around, because they've been around Benny, they're just going to be a bit more noble.
Oh,
they're just going to be a bit nicer. They're only going to use
it's just
like,
rubbed off.
They're going to be reformed. No, he didn't rub off on them. Come on, like family show, Michelle.
I'm blaming the rum on that one. then they go into the club, don't they? They actually go into club. And I think this is when Ray was teaching Benny about the slang and everything, wasn't it? So that was quite funny.
Yeah, the 4-1-1 on the download. Benny tries to do it. And because that's how they start the conversation outside. Because like they go, it's like, oh, that uniform's bad. And then he turns to Ray. It's like lovely. There's,
they've just insulted the uniform. Uniform.
No, bad's good. Oh, okay, yeah, fine. Okay, it's more this lingo. And yeah. So, yeah, Benny has a go at it and completely fails to get the lingo, yeah. Down, which is very nice, yeah.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they go to the club and they're talking to somebody that had... they'd seen the guy because they're trying to find the guy to arrest him. And they, the club owners, they go all the way through the club and they talk to the club owner, and the club owner's like, yeah, I saw him about 10:30. And
oh, which they learned from the coroner.
Creepy coroner. The rum, what can I say?
They learned from the coroner that it's between a certain sort of time range. So this was after they saw him. So they know it's kind of like, it's narrowing down the time again. And it's a bit like, I do like that they pepper in the police work side of it. It's very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they learned that he'd gone back to the gym to go and collect some stuff from his locker.
Yes. So kind of, yeah, they're going to have little pieces as they go.
Getting little bits. Nuggets. And it was really funny because obviously this club owner just wants to get them out. He's like walking and talking, isn't he? He's walking and talking. You're not thinking too much of it. And the next bit, they're out the door. And he's like, bam, shuts the door on them.
Then opens the door, lets Deef out. And you know, if Deef wanted to stay in that club, he'd be in that club till he was done. And he'd be signed in as a gang member.
He'd be sitting on a table with some people as they're like playing some cards or something, you know.
Because I did notice the, the bandanas which they use. Like, by the way, whoever designed that design of bandana, and anyone who has ever owned a bandana will probably know the one I mean. It's like, it's just different colors, but it's always the same pattern on it. Mm. And it's always used, like, and I use them for Willow as kind of like, basically it's just little neckerchiefs and get them wet during the summer so they stay cool. It's very kind of a good thing for dogs. So, yeah, grab bandana, get it wet. You'll keep your dog happy in the sun, as well as bringing some water with you. Just a little bit of dog safety there, because it's a nice sunny day today here in the UK for a change. But yeah, I know, yeah. Deef would definitely be walking out with a bandana on. He'd be a member of the club. He'd have literal, and I mean literal, bitches following him out. You know, he'd have the female dogs from the gang would be his. You know, it would just be a beautiful scene. He's like, he's on a mission though. He's at work. He's not going to stick around in the club.
No, so he comes out with them. You know, he's probably going to go back another time. He'll go back later or something. Yeah, you know.
He's going peace out to the ladies. Like he's giving,
see you later.
Poor fist bumps to all the the homies, which he's just kind of signed up as gang member to.
This is what we imagine.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Secret, we have no proof. We have no proof he does this.
I think we have got proof from the other Deef episodes. He's always kind of like connected and hooked up. So I think,
Everyone loves Deef, don't they?
Who doesn't love Deef?
Everyone loves Deef.
And the Draco Deef, I believe we are at this stage.
Yeah. Yeah. So then they head back to the gym because they want to go and check out the locker. And that was quite funny as they're going through the stuff. And once again, Benny's sniffing everything. So he takes the clothes out of the locker and he's sniffing it. And I think, isn't Ray like, oh, what are you getting? He's like, soy sauce.
Yeah. And actually, have we skipped over? Have we got to the bit where we've got Huey and Dewey?
Oh.
Because there's...
you're right. Yeah, I skipped over that. Yeah.
Because this reminds me of it. They've got this little bit. Friend of the show, Tom Lessis, who often drops in, hasn't been on the show yet. We are planning on sorting out at some time. He's agreed in principle. We just haven't sort of hooked it up at the moment. But Tom Lessis' character gets referenced before he's on camera, which they don't follow up on, which is kind of weird.
But
Jack Huey goes up to Ray and goes like, if you got a friend and they kind of had a funky smell, it's like fish and old, whatever, you know, it's like old socks or whatever. It goes, oh, he's talking about your stinky partner. It's like, that's our buddy Tom Lissus you're talking about now. I like to think Tom himself smells of roses. Like, you know, this is only the character we're talking about. I just like to make that clear. But it's kind of quite funny that they're just... and I do notice that this Ray and Huey have a bit more of a kind of like friendly relationship. It was always kind of sparring between the other ones, even though they had that kind of like underlying respect for each other, especially when we see the scene where one of them dies. Between Ray and Jack, it's kind of like new Ray and Jack, I should say. It's kind of, they like, he asked him to do some groundwork for him to look something up, and he just does it. Whereas, like, if that was the first Ray, he would have told him to go whistle for that, you know. And they're having a conversation about his partner Stinky, yeah, which I don't think they would have done previously.
Everybody loves Ray. And maybe the other Ray would be like, yeah, everybody loves Ray. Yeah. They didn't love him.
He'd be the brother. What was the brother called? Everyone loves Raymond.
I can't remember now. I don't remember.
Well, that's going to annoy me now.
Oh, it'll come to you.
Okay, yeah. We'll just be in the middle of another conversation. Like, yeah, I was.
Everybody loves Ray. Yeah, I do, though. I do think that people kind of prefer this, but in the department,
yeah,
everyone seems to get on a lot better with him,
apart from Fran. Maybe seems to have continued the same sort of like sibling rivalry.
Yeah, maybe she's, I wonder if she's doing that on purpose though, to keep up the pretense that this is Ray. Hello, look who's popped on.
Well, she's been just in the corner of the picture.
Say hello.
She actually licked it.
Yeah. And consider yourself licked, audience, by Willow. If you're listening on audio,
is she
later,
showing her bandana off here as well? Because yeah, for the gang, the orange gang. Yeah.
Pull down the other bit now. You've made it look amazing. Oh, goodness. Make it look a mess. What? Jesus. She's on camera. She likes to look
she
right.
She don't mind, do you?
I want to look good on the camera. Sausages.
Yeah, there were sausages. She would not care what she looked like.
Fine, I'll give her a treat. Keep talking then.
Yeah, let's keep talking. So there was so after they looked in the locker, I think they were walking back through the gym again, where the boxing ring is, and there was this really weird bit that we both commented on as well. Like, they're walking through and they're talking, and then Ray's like walking to the side, and then he walks towards like this thin pole.
Sorry, an audio. She just put her head between the two chairs which we're sat on. And it's just popping up. That's the cutest thing ever. Sorry, are we doing a show? Getting distracted by Willow. This is the rum's fault, I'm telling you.
This is all my fault, isn't it? Yeah.
It's always my fault. I blame the rum, but yeah, it is your fault.
But I poured the rum, so I feel partly responsible. Anyway, a little bit. They're walking through the gym, and then Ray just in the background is weirdly like sparring with a pole, isn't he?
Yes. It's really, it's a lovely little thing. You just like, it's one of those things where you're not paying attention to where you're walking. He almost walks into the pole. Then he does this, like, you know, like a one-two punch, like he meant to do that. It's just very delightful. I like little bits of business in shots where like they've just got someone in the background. They just add a little bit of flavor. I wonder even if that might have been an ad lib. That does seem like one of the things they might have just. He might have accidentally just not been paying attention, just ad-libbed it to keep the scene going. But it's very nice.
Yeah, and then when they're in the club, I think this is when Ray gets a phone.
So in what?
In the club.
Thank you.
In the club. Yep.
Thunder in the club. That's all that song I'm going to do. We'll get struck in by copyright otherwise.
Yeah. Ray gets a phone. Struck. What is going on with your speech today?
I think we know what's going on with my speech today, Rummy.
Ray gets a phone call. So the guy that they've been looking for to arrest, he phones them, and he's being chased by a gang, and he's like, help me, I'm being chased. And Ray's like, right, stay right where you are, I'm coming. So clearly he's running when they show him, because he can't stay where he is, he'd be beaten. that was a weird thing. But he never said where he was, and he's like, stay where you are, I'm coming.
He just knows.
So they drive.
That's a good point though. I do like something which I weirdly got into when he was running. I was like, oh God, he's gone off the path. He's gone into grass. That's not going to make it any easier. He's bound to trip.
You're
going to
fall over, man. Come on.
For some reason, I just really like the tech. I think it's because I walk Willow, and like, I know if you go into. And the other day I was walking here in my old hometown of Romsey, just down the road from here in Southampton. And we're going through the park, and it was kind of like I went off the path because it was like there was a huge puddle, even though it was a sunny day. It'd been raining the night before. I walked off it, and the whole of the grass bit was just waterlogged. So I was like, oh, he's going to be struggling there, especially if it was raining last night.
And he did. He did struggle. Yeah, so you were right. You were right, yeah. God, I almost want to comment on the phone that Ray was using as well. I've not seen a beautiful 90s phone like that for a long time. Of the antenna that you pull out and
flip bit. Well, now we don't have the Ray's fashion. All we can do is look at the other marvels of 90s that we have here. Oh, including one thing we didn't mention earlier was there was this guy with huge hair just going over. So it was very, very pleasing to the eye. Just massive hair. It was like,
it's nice to look on these weird 90s things and have a giggle now, isn't it?
It was like dreads and just very, very pleasing. I don't know. Sorry, that's not going anywhere. But just
But this was another occasion where, so as Ray arrives, they're just about to like beat him up, and there he goes with his Ray Pops again. Ray Pops. To break up the fight.
Oh, I hope we get more of these as these episodes go on. But like, Ray Pops has to be a feature if it does.
Yeah, like anytime he comes across a fight, Ray Pops.
And what was your favorite Ray Pops of this episode? He's Ray very Pops. Trigger happy. And, it's like, and again, it's always a series of blasts, not just like one in the air.
Yeah.
Which I think previous Ray might have done one in the air, but not like.
I think like other Ray, maybe he would announce that there's a police officer here, you know, like, officer, stop, you know, so I don't know, something.
The officer stop one shot in the air, maybe.
Yeah.
And also, but pop, 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 pop. I'm pretty sure Ray Kowalski is just emptying his gun. The amount of.
Yeah. I now cannot do anything.
Yeah.
Fraser, over to you. Yeah. Because you've got your gun. Even if you drop it, there it is.
Pop, pop.
Yeah. So then the others, I can't remember if they arrested them or if they all ran off. But then he's faced with the fact that he's found the guy that he's been looking for. And, you know, this is his friend, his buddy, his protege.
Yeah,
I can't say
God,
the word.
No, it's just, Benny just says to him, it's like,
You gotta do it.
And he's just reading his rights so sadly, and the guy looks in disbelief, like as if this isn't hard enough for him already. Then you've got the guy who looks kind of like you just
doing
told
this
him
to
there
be
was
Ray?
No Santa, which we of course all know that Santa there Easter is. Bunny completely real. How would we have got our eggs yesterday? Just saying.
Comment below.
Yeah. No, don't, because like, unless it's yes, of course, Santa and the Easter Bunny are real, because that's the only comment which we need to have here. Just saying.
Okay. That's all we're accepting here on the podcast. Thank you.
But the very real Santa and Easter Bunny. Yes, of course. What else would we accept?
Nothing.
We're not mad. Well, not for that anyway.
So that wasn't really sad, because then they go back to the station and this guy's getting, shall we call it pan fried or grilled?
Yeah. Getting pan fried, he's getting sauteed.
What did she say? Did she start with broiled or something to start with? Yeah.
And God, Huey and Dewey really going for it here as well.
So they got the big screen at some of them are standing behind, like watching this interrogation. So Walsh is there, Francesca's there for some reason, probably because Fraser's there. Ray and Benny are there.
I mean, just for me, if nothing else. I mean,
there's probably no need for her to be there, but she's like, well, this is where Fraser is, so this is where I am.
For Franny to be there. And this was, and this was another one where she walks past him and goes like, okay, see you later, Benny. And looks him up and down, and she's much more seductively than
I think. Maybe Franny needs to make him a uniform.
Yeah.
Tight in all the right places.
It'd be just like some shorts.
Little hot pants. Like tight little tight top.
I picture it being really tight shorts, like completely cut off around, like their trunks version.
Yeah.
A khaki, whatever, like, is it? No, it's black hair trousers.
It's got dark. I think they're dark, aren't they?
Yeah, so it'd be like just pants versions of those. And then it would just be the tunic as is, because I think girls dig that. I think girls do dig his Mountie uniform, as well as gang members, apparently.
Maybe just like cut out holes for the nipples or something.
Maybe what, like in the fetch club they go in a very early episode.
Oh yeah, there we go. That's his new uniform.
That's for the reboot. That's what they're going to go for.
Yeah. Well, you never know. We don't know who's going to do costume design on that one.
It's not you, Michelle.
It's not me.
Those comments.
No, I'm out.
I think we
sorry,
might get
guys,
banned
I'm out
from set.
Yeah, but it was funny. They said they're doing the interrogation. They're going hard, and Ray's like finding it really hard to watch. He's like, he's just a kid. And Walsh is kind of like, get out of here, go away. They're just doing what you would do. Go on, shoot.
Yeah, and Ray said this was a bit weird, because Ray on his way goes like, yeah,
yeah,
just what I would do.
Yeah,
and just leaves. And then Benny goes, he doesn't mean it. What? Yeah?
Yeah?
He doesn't mean yeah? It's like, yeah, he's acting a bit pissy, but it's like he hasn't said anything. It's not like it was just a weird line, because it's like, yeah, he didn't mean yeah. He meant hey.
But yeah, it was funny with Francesca. Yeah, really proving like she probably shouldn't have the job she has. She's like, oh yeah, they're getting really boiled.
She should definitely have that job and that uniform.
Well, there's definitely an excuse to get her in more scenes, isn't it?
Unless she can do with that uniform, which I can't imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure she probably keeps it on at home.
No, I like to think she takes a lot. But anyway, that's another story. Maybe with some assistance. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Shall we move on?
No, we shouldn't. But anyway, yeah, we will.
So I think they end up back in the gym then. I don't know if I missed a bit because, I think they end up back in the gym. And because I think Ray's, because he needs to get,
I think Anne's next. I don't know.
Yeah, my notes really helpful. Yeah, because I think
it's either that or I take notes, which isn't going to happen, obviously.
Ray is really upset. So he goes to go and let off some steam down at the gym. So he's down there fighting a bag, as you do.
Oh, and I thought it was kind of funny because, it looked like, just because obviously it's now suddenly permanently in the news, there was kind of like the bag was, I think, blue, and then there was some yellow tape in it, or vice versa. And it kind of looked like the Ukraine flag. I was going, showing their support even before the conflict was a thing. It's just, I don't know, for the right reasons. Obviously, I'm not taking the mickey out of the war or anything else, but for the right reason, the Ukraine flag is used quite a lot now as kind of a sign of support in many different programs and all sorts. So when I saw that, I go, oh, that's kind of weird. Like, that I've so associated those colors now with Ukraine, which back then, I wouldn't have been able to tell you where Ukraine was on a map. Kind of just one of those weird things again, you know, when we talk about 90s versus today.
Yeah, definitely. So then Ray ends up in the boxing ring.
Yes.
Because I think Benny's trying to make Ray feel better and it's just not happening. And he's like, get in a ring with me then, you know, fight me. So he's goading on Benny, isn't he? So they both end up in the boxing ring together.
He's just like, they go.
Yeah, he's just like whoop, ducking moving, the punches moving, very nicely. Yeah, and
Ray's getting ever more mad, which is like, well, that's the perfect boxing maneuver. You conserve your energy, let the other guy get tired, and get him really pissed off with you. Because like near the beginning of the episode, when the guys go to their like glove touch, ready for the fight, the guy like leans in and goes, "We don't hear what he says," but then Ray asks what the guy says to him. He goes, he said, I loved you, which is a brilliant boxing psych out. Because opposed to saying, like, you're ready for someone to, like, get in your head with, like, oh, good story, I'm going to kill you. You know, I'm going to make your wife a widow. You know, you're ready for all that. Saying, I love you, kind of throws someone off kilter. So it's I love little tricks like that in boxing and stuff like that. I'm not really a boxing fan, but I love the tactics of it, shall we say. And, this seems just feels like a bit like the same, like without Benny even meaning to, he's totally getting inside Ray's head by just not
hitting him
and just moving out of his way neatly.
Yeah, and then Ray's going, hit me, keep saying it.
Oh, okay,
bang. Straight on the nose. Yeah, I wasn't ready. And then he's Benny suggests that he gets in the ring with the
the promoter
Mason.
The promoter wants to hire him like as a boxer.
Oh, Benny,
the coach trainer.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, you show some potential.
Yeah, Ray's like, me? No, not you. Mountie, obviously. And also, Benny earlier was saying about like they should have some protective helmets and stuff, and they are wearing some hat guns.
Yeah, but he's not just wearing that, he's wearing protection down below as well. It looks like a weird rubber nappy that he's wearing.
That's just to contain his Mountie truncheon.
I think it was Ray that was. I don't know if Benny was wearing one. I can't remember. For some reason, I was looking at Ray.
I don't know why Ray's got a Mountie's truncheon, but there we go.
So then Mason gets in the ring with him, and he's a big guy.
Oh, good!
He?
I love big the fact guy. That he goes like, "Hey, wait, do you want to go against him?" And it's like Mason just goes,
he's smiling. He's like, oh yeah, I want to get in there and beat this guy up.
I also love the fact that just to highlight that this character seems to have some intellectual disability, but it's not really kind of like, it's not made a big deal of it. It's just there, and that's really nice. I think it's really progressive representation of disability here. Just give that a shout out. I just kind of really liked it. I didn't even really particularly notice it until they kind of it becomes relevant later on in the episode. I don't know if the actor does, but it's really nicely done. It was there. It was kind of like putting representation there without kind of having to mention it. It's just treating him like anyone else, which is how he should, which I don't know. I just thought it was really nice. So it's something which occurred to me later on in the episode.
Okay. Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and he completely clocks right in 3 seconds.
Yeah. But then there was another nice little bit with Benny and Deef as well. So, because I think as Benny's in the ring with him, Deef's barking a little bit. And then when Benny gets out the ring, he goes over to Deef and he goes, you know, thank you for showing your concern. It wasn't needed, but it was nice to see some concern out of you. I haven't seen much recently.
Yes.
You know, this like little attitude like going on between them two was quite funny. So, yeah, even though we're not seeing Deef very much, there is there is still a nice little back and forth and almost, I want to say like, almost like banter, but obviously Deef's not saying anything.
Yeah, there's a lot of Deef kind of like reaction shots in this episode, which is, this is the only episode, this is the only series where you have like loads of reaction shots of a dog slash wolf here, which is very nice.
Yeah, but that was a nice little bit. And then... So I think after the match, to raise a little bit, beaten up by this guy, and they're talking, and Benny is like, "Well, I think we need to go back and see the coroner and see if we can get your friend off the hook for this homicide." And he's like, "And how are we going to do that?" He goes, "Well, we'll find out if there was any diuretics in this guy's system." He's like, "But you told him not to test for it." He goes, "I think I left enough of a hint for him to, you know, get on and test anyway. So let's go and see."
Of course, the coroner has. It's great.
And it was such a weird thing as well. So they go back to the morgue and he's just laying on the gurney.
Listen to music because you had him humming something earlier, which I believe comes up in a future episode as well with his love of opera.
Yeah.
His opera he's listening to.
It was, again, very, very creepy, this coroner. Of course he tested for it.
Obviously, yeah.
Obviously. And there was nothing in this guy's system. So so then they're thinking, okay, so it's not in his system. So he's taken them to cover for his brother. He's the guy that's in the hospital in the coma, that the sugar man that had been injured earlier on in the episode. So like, so he's probably covering for his brother who's in hospital. Maybe we need to go and test him because I think they couldn't test through the hospital. I think they'd already taken blood. They couldn't test. But then they were like, "Oh, well, you're in luck. You can just ask him. He's awake."
As chance would have it.
Would you believe he's out of his coma already? So then they head over to the hospital to go and have a chat with him. Because one thing that they're suspecting is that he's got steroids in his system.
Yes, and this is how we kind of get towards our denouement of the episode. Because they think the steroids maybe kind of like gives up the end of this mystery, but it opens it up wider.
Yeah, because they think he's probably been taking steroids to bulk up a bit. But that can make you a little bit woozy. Maybe that's what happened during the match when he was...
And actually, we should give you props as well. Sorry to interrupt you, but I'm interrupting you to give you praise. What did you notice earlier when they started talking about the diuretics?
Well, yeah,
they were dismissing it and they could have gone a certain way.
Well, it could have been, maybe it was the combination of the two, the steroids and the diuretics, because they said he was probably taking the diuretics to flush the steroids out of his system so it wouldn't show up in a urine test. But one thing that diuretics can do is it can drop your blood pressure and make you a little bit lightheaded. So they're saying...
Even before we had the steroids, you picked up on that straight away. This is what you get when you get a nurse on the show. See?
Yeah. So because they were saying the steroids can make him woozy. So, but if he was taking both, yeah, maybe he was just feeling a bit too woozy because of the combination.
Yeah.
So they're talking to the guy in hospital and he admits that he ends up admitting it reluctantly that, yes, he was taking the steroids and they were given to him. And he kind of says who they were given by. So it was the trainer. Boo, the trainer.
Oh, no, you said who they were given by.
Boo, the trainer, though, yes.
Who the who?
The guy that that Ray was really good friends with at the gym, the trainer. Sadly, it was him. So then Walsh...
It's a really nice rap. Oh, sorry, Walsh.
Yeah, because then he's, you know, Ray speaks to Walsh about it, and Walsh loves this guy too, and he's just like, but, you know, if he's a wrong'un, you go out there and you get him.
Yeah. It's very nicely done, and then we do go to our final scene, and it's just really lovely how the guy's really defending. He's really talking about how these guys haven't got hope, and like everyone dopes up because so like all these guys are doing it anyway. I'm just like at least being honest about it, and you do get this guy cares, even though he's done the wrong thing. He cares about these people. That's why he's doing. He's trying to give them a better life, and if he has to break a rule or two to do that. He's wanting to do that. I just thought it was a really nicely, nicely. Well, I like the fact that Due South's actually always been pretty good at showing that things aren't black and white, even though Benny is really to one side of being uber moralistic. And when we've discussed before, like when the first Ray starts, he's, you know, willing to cut corners left, right, and center, but they kind of make each other better and make each other more rounded, because the truth's usually somewhere in the middle. And this is another instance of Due South showing that. So, you know, just he broke a rule, but he's caring about these people. He wants to make them okay. Yes, he has to go to jail for what he's done, but was he morally completely wrong? I kind of like that complexity of it.
Yeah, so before they get to arrest him, though, Mason, the other guy, the big boxer, he kind of like takes him off, doesn't he? He takes him off outside.
Yeah, and then they get surrounded by the guys. And it's just a wonderful moment.
Yeah.
We've got Benny going, it's like, look, you haven't declared that you're a cop. And maybe they don't recognize my uniform. Maybe they just don't realize we're cops.
And then we get another Ray pop.
Pop, 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 pop. Can we just do one more? Because it's the last time. Pop, 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 pop. I really hope he does it again now in future episodes.
That's forever what it's going to be called now. Ray pops.
Go on, one more time. Pop, 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 pop. At home.
We know you did. Oh, no, Willow got excited. She came over for some Ray pops.
Yeah.
Yay.
That's how Ray pops. Nicely done.
Good girl.
Okay, definitely.
She's getting a treat for that.
Oh, God, yeah. When I did Ray pops, she gets a treat. Can you catch him there? Catch
him. No, she can't.
Sorry, I'm going to try this. See if we can get it on camera. This will be nothing if you're listening to an audience. Sit. Yeah, she's just in camera. 3, 2, 1, catch.
And didn't even try.
Going over.
Didn't try. But maybe she's thinking, if I keep missing, he'll keep throwing more.
Working on this Willow. Make me look like a fool in front of the juices.
So after that, so they're confronting the trainer. They're going to arrest him. They put him in cuffs. And then they're accusing him of punching this guy to death. And he's like, no, I might have given the steroids, but I didn't punch anyone, didn't kill anyone.
Yeah, and the guy, you see the trainer says, sorry, what's his name again?
Mason. Yeah.
You see him getting more and more agitated. It's just really well done. But then, yeah, Benny realizes what's happening and goes over to him and starts confronting him, talking through what must happen. It's like, oh, but you wanted to support him, but you know, you went too far. You didn't intend to kill him. And it's what he's saying is classic Benny, but Benny keeps on following him.
Yeah.
And like pushing like him to move
Mason's
forward.
Like walking backwards. And he's like walking towards him.
And this is the one time where I think Benny might have actually caused part of the problem. I don't think the guy, because in a minute he climbs up on the roof. I don't think he would have done it if Benny hadn't been. Yeah. Like Willow agrees with me. If Benny hadn't been so forceful with it. This very un-Benny, I thought, actually, this scene.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then all three of them up on top of the roof, and of course all three of them end up going through this like glass ceiling window thing, falling straight down onto the boxing ring. Amazingly, none of them are hurt badly from this.
And also, I mean, I don't think I've ever been in a boxing ring, but I would have thought there was a little give on it, because when they land there's no give at all.
No,
it does remind me of one that very tangenty again, but I'm going to speak a little dog too quickly. Reminds me of when David Tennant in his original run as the 10th Doctor, just before he regenerates, and this does not trigger the regeneration, he falls through the ceiling, kind of goes flying to the ground, lands, stands up absolutely fine. One of the silliest things I've ever seen in Doctor Who. But anyway, I digress. It just does seem like they would at least have a few cuts, but there are some nice shots though, when they slow motion and they're on the ground kind of covering themselves from the glass falling. And it looks very, I thought that was really nicely shot. Benny decides Ray needs to, reminds me of, there's one time where he's talking to Leslie Nielsen's character and he goes like, of course, like I need to see this myself because, you know, he's taken something from me. And it feels like it's that kind of thing. It's like, he's taken, like he beat you earlier. Unique conclusion to this. We've got to stop this guy. So why not doing a boxing match? And seems very sporting. I think actually Mason would appreciate this as well, the fact that they resolved it. I think he was going to give himself up anyway, resolving it in a boxing match. And it also let out, it's kind of underlines the theme of the episode, which is about these guys letting out their aggression in a healthy way. I think Mason is, he's like, this has all been bothering him. This has all been bubbling beneath the surface. He knows he did the thing because he thought he was doing the right thing. But I think it did torture him, the fact that the guy died. I think there's some processing it through this boxing match. So it's, I think that's nicely done.
Yeah, that was nice. And oh, do you know what? I was confused myself with something I'd written down then. One thing. Do you know what? One thing that we did mention earlier on.
Podcast.
I know.
I confused myself with my own notes.
Well, one thing, yeah. Before Ray and Mason start fighting in the boxing match, Benny's hat is on the floor, and Ray actually picks up his hat and hands it to Ray. Like, so his hat's not going to get, he knows like how much his hat means to him. He's so protective of his hat, isn't he? And it was a really nice little touch that he would just pick up Benny's. Yeah, it'll be your measures this time. It'd be your fault.
We're just cracking open the last bit of the Crusty Juggler. Please check it out if you're ever in Cornwall.
Very nice, very nice.
Lovely spice. Oh, by the way, just very quickly, just because we were very remiss, we didn't give any tasting notes for the other. It's very kind of, it's definitely a naval rum. Mm. There is a particular taste to naval rums, which is quite, it sort of tastes a bit like there's a mix of a little bit dark rum in with your spiced rum. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would say so, because I don't think it's actually a spiced rum, but it does have that kind of hint to it. It's nicely flavored. Yeah, I think that.
So I don't always like dark rums, but that's got a nice kind of like, it's like a nice spiced edge to the flavor. So that's your taste.
I think it's from the way they age it, but yeah, absolutely lovely rum.
It's on a Due South podcast. You don't want to miss out on your rum tasting notes. It's all in theme. It always has been.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were saying.
Yeah. So I was just saying it was nice that Ray recognizes the importance of Benny's hat and he hands it to him to protect it.
Yes,
starts fighting.
I think this shows that very quickly this Ray's been indoctrinated by Benny into like caring about the hat.
Yeah.
Because it's like they're in the middle. Like this guy's about to brain him, and he still takes a second-hand hat. Very, very Indiana Jones-esque. Yeah. I've always thought the hat in Due South. I think there is. I wouldn't be surprised if it was inspired by Indiana Jones. Let's just say that.
Yeah, nice little touch there from Ray. And then afterwards, when Ray and Benny step out of the gym after their arrests, there are some gang members out there. And this is where I got confused, because I put house boys. That was my that was my note. I was like, house boys? So Benny has an attempt at the slang that... he's been taught by Ray.
Yeah, this is a lovely little exit. What's the 411? My
house boys.
My house boys. That's it. Yeah, yeah.
My house boys.
He gets everything right until house boys.
And then Ray's like, homies, homies.
Ah, yes.
House boys, that's quite funny.
It's a very nice out to this episode. Yeah. I thought this was a good fun one. I think sometimes something which a lot of people comment on is that this iteration of Due South, the later ones, are a little bit more kind of silly. There's less episodes which are kind of like as kind of I'd say hard hitting as the earlier ones, but they do some really lovely comedy ones, and I think this is very fun comedy ones, which definitely does have a nice kind of message. I do think there's a nice thing about showing off what police in some parts of America do. They do outreach programs like this where they get gangs into sports and stuff, and like boxing is a really good one because it's just really great at working out aggression. I'm not usually a fan of boxing. I do think it's kind of weird. Giving people brain damage for sport. Mm-hmm. Just my take. Again, I'm not same. Like, if people are into it and the people are boxing, they choose to. I get it. Like, that's not mine to say, but to me, it's a bit weird. That's all I'm going to say. But I appreciate it when it's that, or kind of going out and shooting people. That's probably the better option. I like that. And I think there is something to that sport where it is an outlet for a lot of people who have got aggression they want to put in check. So I do respect it in that way. So I've kind of got, I guess I've got some complex feelings about this sport, but it's something I'd probably choose to watch very often.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. But you know, one thing I really liked about this episode, I think it really shows how this new Ray has kind of come in, you know, and this must be really hard to come into a program that's so well established, where everyone knows each other so well, has worked together such a long time, and to be the outsider that's come in. And I think this is showing that they've done a really good job at bringing him in, probably making him feel part of the team, part of the program. Oh, yeah. And they've kind of garnered this different way of him being seen by everybody as well. Like we were mentioning earlier on, like the way that people go to him for advice where they wouldn't with the other Ray. And so he's brought this new personality in, and it's really working quite well. It, you know, you're always going to compare to the old Ray maybe in some ways, but he's his own person. He's his own character. And I think he's integrated really well, actually.
I think it's a nice compromise, because you've got like they sort of managed to have their cake and eat it too without it feeling forced. So they've got the fact that he is different, but he still fulfills a lot of the same roles as Ray. There's like I was saying, like with the Streetwise thing, he's probably is genuinely more Streetwise. He's as Streetwise as the original Ray thinks he is, but he's a bit more hot tempered, which the other Ray was hot tempered, but he still had his limits. He still could control it in a way this one doesn't, which also makes you question what he's going to be like in a scene. And in the same way, I think Benny gave the other Ray a few morals, which he had, and the other Ray made him more streetwise. I think this Ray gets more control from Benny, like gets to kind of like really think through what he's doing. He's not a dumb person, but he acts very rashly and doesn't think himself through. And I think Benny gives him that. I think Benny's grown a lot, so he can also, he's found better ways to communicate with him. And I'm sure he does, like, I'm trying to think how he learns from this Ray. Do you think Benny learns from this Ray?
I think so. I think he does, but it's different.
Yeah.
I mean, he's learning to be more streetwise.
But yeah, I guess.
But he's learning about culture and things as well, you could say. There's there's definitely different things he's learning, different cultures, different way to communicate with people, different way to, yeah.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I think maybe the other Ray taught him to not always follow the rules so ridiculously rigidly.
Yeah.
Whereas this one maybe teaches him just to have, to understand the common man a bit more.
Yeah.
I hate that phrase because it sounds so out of touch. The common man, you know.
Different
anyone who uses the phrase common man is not the common man, so I don't like using it.
Different people's struggles in different situations and different.
Yeah, he gives them a bit of that empathy, I guess. Yeah. You know, it's like, I mean, yeah, actually, maybe that is it. Maybe it's like the way that he is very raw with his feelings. He teaches Benny to be a bit more raw and open with his feelings. So yeah, no, it's kind of really nice to discover that kind of relationship and give you something new halfway through a show. Hmm. But yeah, that's that episode. So we've now got our moments of the week. So Michelle.
Yes.
What is your most American of the week?
So I think I'm going to go for, I want to keep calling him Levine, but I don't know if that's his actual name. So he was the boxer, the one.
Okay.
The one that Ray was backing, who they thought maybe he'd murdered Jamal. One,
yeah.
I'm going to go for him because I think he was, you know, he's brought up and raised in America. He's obviously had a challenging youth, but he's trying to better himself now. He's trying to do better. And I think the Americans have this wonderful thing of the American dream, where it doesn't matter you come from, you can always improve. You can always get to where you want to get to. And he had this skill that he was trying to work on and better himself. And yeah, so that's why I went for him for my American.
Yeah. Oh no, I really like that one. I think there's also something to the fact that he, there is something like, you know, there's lots of movies about boxing in America, On the Waterfront, Rocky, like there's loads of examples where they use it to kind of, they're people who are of the people. I think there's something just really wonderful about those kind of boxing movies about, like, they're just the underdog. And that's what kind of America represents in movies quite often. I wish the underdog won a bit more in America these days, but we won't go into that. Anyway, I'm going to go for the coach for kind of similar reasons, but okay. I sort of like the opposite side of it, I guess, because it's like he is about kind of like the trying to better people and trying to help people up and like that thing of the American dream. But he's also got pinched the American reality, I'm going to call it, whereas he realizes sometimes these underprivileged, underadvantaged people sometimes need to bend the rules to get ahead. because the system, unfortunately, I was alluding to before, sometimes can be stacked against them. And so I think there is something to America where they sometimes have to bend the rules to kind of get ahead. And I think that's a stick sometimes to use against underprivileged people. But I think that is very American, just one way or the other. So I think he's a very fine character who just is also a realist about what America is at the same time. So I like the fact that you've got the American dream. I've kind of got a bit more of the American reality.
American reality, yeah.
Which both are very genuine. So yeah, I think that's nice. So Michelle, the most Canadian of the week.
Yeah, I'm hoping I've got this right. But I think...
Sorry, no, it's my fault. I didn't do this properly. Can you give me the information I seek? Tell me what the best moments of the week are.
It's like Blaine is in the room.
I almost missed that fine jingle by Blaine Garrison, as covered by me. I had to take the screen. Sorry. Most Canadian.
Yeah, I'm really, really, really hoping that I've got this right. So I was going to say the coach, because if I'm not wrong, I think his name in real life is Wrong Canada.
Oh, is he Wrong Canada?
I think he might be Wrong Canada.
Guy in the credits called Wrong Canada.
And there is nothing more Canadian than having your name as Canada.
Damn it, that's a really good one.
I'm going to have to double check, but I had a very, very quick look and I think it was him. I think he is Wrong Canada.
Okay. I'm going to go. Right. I don't know the character's name, but when they're outside the club and you've got the main guy from the gang is outside the club who talks to Benny and goes like he's really interested in the Queen's red, which is used in the Canadian Mountie outfit. I don't know. Just something really wonderful about him. He's just really kind of quirky, cool, which cool. I think there's a wonderful quirk to Canada, which I really love. I think there is it dances to its own beat, which again I love. It's kind of a mixture of, it's a melting pot of Canadian, French, American, English. They're all in the mix there, and I think this guy is a multitude of things, because he kind of like has this wonderful conversation where he's interested in this, and then when it goes we're guy, you know, it's like he says some sort of... So I think this guy, in the same way as Canada is a melting pot, I think this guy is a melting pot of different things, and I think he represents that of Canada.
Okay, very cool.
And yeah, again, for anyone who's new to watching this, we pick a Canadian of the week, but they don't have to be Canadian. Same thing with American. It's just it's someone who embodies the spirit of those great nations,
or has it in their names
in your case, which I'm gonna, I love that. That's a damn fine reason to make him Wrong Canada. And if it is the same guy, that guy's been in so many things, and for some reason
he's very familiar.
Two were spring to my mind, obviously Star Trek, because you know, nerd, and he was also in Babylon 5, again nerd. But anyway, it's those two. But he's one of these guys, he's been everything, and I love actors like that. He's just been a bit of every show. So what we got left? So we got American Week, Canadian Week. We of course have to go to the best Diefenbaker moment of the week, and we've got a few fine ones. So Michelle, which did you pick?
Oh, it has to be the one where he's left in the club after Benny and Ray are shut out.
Sorry, where was he left in?
The club.
Thank you.
The club. And I do like to think that it's because he's walking so slow behind them, because he's like, oh, hey, like he's recognizing people. Oh, I'll be back later to see you. Yeah. Keep a drink there for me. You know, he's, you know, that's how I picture him.
I think that's all. But I'm going to pick a different one just to add in another one of his. I like the bit at the beginning. He's just like, not only does he get chastised by Betty, but he's like, no, look, I'm part Canadian. Like, I'm part, Chicagoan now. I've become native. And he's like hanging out with something that I liked about him, hanging out with Fran and with Ray and with Benny. And they were just hanging out. And it's nice to have, because it's usually about, like, we know he's a hardworking dog/wolf. Mm-hmm. It's RD. You just hang out. He's getting a bit of off time, and he talks about, like, they talk about him having a lion. It's like, it's just rare that he's off duty, and it's nice, like, much like Diefenbaker's day off. He had a bit of a morning off here, and it was nice. Bit of him time.
He should be entitled to that, shouldn't he?
And what we've been, I think we missed doing this last few episodes, but how many, and we're going to say KOs,
KOs,
would you give this episode?
I think I would give it a 7. I think that's quite a decent score. I think it was a really, really good episode. I think we've been spoilt in the past with just some incredible episodes, but I feel like we're getting back up to some really good episodes now. And I don't know if it's just because it's taken a little bit of time working these new characters and everything up, but I feel like we're getting some of it now. The rapport is really good. The relationships with everyone is really good. So I feel like we're creeping back up some really good stuff. I think I was slightly disappointed by the last episode, just a little bit.
This
has been a really good kind of like boost. And I think I feel like it could keep rising. And we can get some amazing episodes still. But yeah, I think a good solid seven.
To my memory, the last series/T-series, depending which nation you're in, is a bit of a mixed bag. There are some episodes better than others. But I enjoyed this a lot better than... I think watching it back and watching it with a more open mind, I'm really enjoying seeing new characters rise as opposed to maybe being a bit butthurt because original Ray left. I think we all went through that thing. It's the same thing as when Picard took over and Next Generation from Kirk. You know, we have to get used to our new captain in the show, or first officer, probably allegory. I don't know. Anyway, we have to get used to our new Ray. So, but I really enjoyed it. I think I see what's special about this Ray particularly now. So yeah, I'm going to match you on 7 out of 10. Mm. Yeah, nice. Funny episode, had a heart, had a message to classic Due South. So, guys, thank you very much for watching once again, Due South by Southeast. We're going to be back hopefully next month. We're trying to do every month. I think we're doing a better hit rate.
We're doing better, aren't we?
Year.
Yeah, last like, year was quite the year.
Three, maybe. Oh, yeah, don't even start me on last year. No breaking limbs so far. No deaths so far. No, I mean, like, it was 2023 was not. Oh, yeah, let's just say that. I'm just one day at a time. So far, it's been good. That's all I'm saying. I'm not tempting any fates right here. Please do get in touch. If you're watching this later, please enjoy. Please do drop us a message because we do read them all later. But thank you very much, guys. Oh, I forgot we had little tickers I could have put up.
Ah, oh, next time, eh?
Anyway, that's great.
Hey.
Go on one more time. Pop, 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 pop. I've been dubbed Detective Squee. You almost gave the wrong name. And with me has been
Mounty Michelle.
And Lieutenant Willow, who's now lying on the bed having a little kip. Michelle, though. Like, I'm just going to take you on a flight of fancy for a second. Ooh. Say people had an instrument for determining which direction they were going. It's maybe a compass. And they wanted to keep it in such a direction that they'd be able to find us next time when we're broadcasting. Which direction would you say they should keep their said device pointed in?
I'd go due south by southeast. I had a glass in my hand. Ray didn't.
It was all going so well. Pop off.